been a pretty good
Blog Talk Radio.
There she is. I was wondering where the Blog Talk lady was. Well, just in case we didn't get through it while we're waiting for the Blog Talk lady to finally get engaged, this is Somewhere in Vegas here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Mark the Q. I'm your host. I'm very privileged to have a very talented individual. She is one half of March to May. Their new album is currently out, Ryan, called The Water's Edge. It just debuted last week. You guys can check that out on most of your music outlets as well. Beth is on with us, and we were just talking before the Blog Talk lady goes up, came up and finally started the show for us about how everything is kind of going in terms of this album. And, you know, I've heard quite a few tracks from it, and I think it's a really lovely album. You know, some of those tracks I think are really, you know, kind of speak to the heart of Americana, and they're really innovative as well. I mean, you know, kind of what are your thoughts in terms of this album and how this album came about, and what your ideas were going into creating this album?
I think, well, first of all, thank you so much for the praise of the album. We really appreciate hearing that. As for what we were thinking about going into the album, I think a lot of what's on the album kind of goes around an idea that we were trying to capture in the album title. So the water, it's called The Water's Edge, and that's a title that symbolizes to us this place of transition where the safety and familiarity of the shore is behind you, but ahead of you is something exciting and unfamiliar and beautiful. And so a lot of the songs on the album are about these moments of transition where you're either feeling something that is new and really trying to dive into the complicated feeling or complicated experience. So in some ways it's trying to unpack a little bit of some of the complex things in life.
Yeah, I mean, you know, having lived all over the world, you know, in your past as well, I mean, it obviously draws from your experiences elsewhere. And, you know, they always say that America is a kind of a melting pot in terms of the cultural significance of certain individuals coming in and giving their contribution as well. You know, with that in mind, I mean, how is it, you know, kind of that feeling that to be able to kind of give your experiences having lived around the world and putting that in your music?
I think that you mentioned living around the world, and I do think that those influences definitely come out. One thing, so Darren and I have both actually traveled extensively. My music partner, Darren, has been to a lot of the same places that I lived, and we actually kind of crisscrossed paths during the years that I was living there. We went to a lot of the same places but missed each other always by a couple months or a year or so. So it's kind of funny because this is all before we met each other. But he said something about how our travels have influenced our music that has always really resonated with me. And that's that when you travel, you're always seeing the world through different eyes, and you're kind of forced out of the familiarity of your everyday experience. And even if you're looking at something that you've seen before 1,000 times, when you're in a totally different context, you have to look at it as if it's new. And I think that a lot of that sort of curiosity or desire to take something that you may have seen before but really dive into it and look at it as if it were totally foreign to you, and make it known, make it beautiful, is definitely present in the album.
Yeah, you mentioned that, you know, you've been to a lot of the same places but you haven't quite crisscrossed with each other as well, and you know, you ultimately came together to form this group. I mean, you know, it's kind of an interesting story, to say the least. You know, I'm kind of like the old story about, you know, people being at the wrong place at the wrong time and ultimately finding each other. Yeah, I mean, you know, tell us a little bit about how you met and how you and Darren met, and you know, kind of sharing those experiences in terms of you mentioned, you know, obviously there are different things in different times as well. I mean, was it kind of interesting for you to end up finding out that you've kind of almost crossed paths so many times?
Yeah, it was actually a little bit surreal because we were finding that out about each other at the same time that we were connecting musically and finding out that we have a lot of just a lot in common as personalities and get along very well. So to add that layer of having these really kind of unique experiences, having similar or the same experiences, the same very unique experiences, was kind of strange and delightful and magical at the same time. Darren and I met, to get to your question, we met kind of strangely. Darren had been living in Seattle for a couple of years, and I was just moving to the city from Washington, D.C., so from one Washington to the other. And I was looking for a place to live, and so to make a long story short, Darren and I started out as Craigslist housemates, and neither of us knew that the other one played music at all until we went away to the coast with the rest of our housemates and some friends a couple weeks after I'd moved in, and Darren started playing his guitar one night on the beach, and I started harmonizing some of his songs, and it was this moment of kind of the spark hitting and this realization that, hey, we might have something here. So finding out, sort of having that spark hit and finding out how much we had in common and just that we got along really, really well and the music was happening, and then finding out that we had all these shared experiences, even though we'd always kind of missed each other when we were having them, it was pretty powerful.
Yeah, you know, yeah, and I mean, Seattle in itself is a growing scene. It's been interesting because I've got a lot of artists from the area, and you know, you'd think that there would be a lot of like you know rock bands up in Seattle, but I've been getting as of late a lot of Americana and folk and all that as well. It seems like there's a really budding scene out there.
Absolutely.
You know, what's been your experience out there in Seattle and being able to play locally and I see, you know, other bands that are in the area, and you know, what's your kind of idea of the scene there in Seattle?
I'd agree with you. I think there's definitely a huge emerging folk and Americana bluegrass scene in Seattle. There's like this Northwest brand of folk that really has a home here. It's also a city that really loves live music and really loves kind of unusual venues. It's a huge city for house concerts, and people who wouldn't normally go to music go to those shows. So it's got this very underground feeling to it in some ways, but it's very much a thriving scene and just so many interesting voices coming out of here right now.
Now, you had taken up harp later on in life. I mean, did you play any instruments before you played the harp?
Mostly voice. I sang classically from when I was about 7. As classical as you can get when you're 7, but I was singing in organized fashion from about 7 onwards. So I'd always been pretty musical, but I was actually a competitive gymnast until I was an early teen, and I got too tall. And when I had to quit that, I needed something to fill that time. And I'd always been very musical, and so ended up playing the harp.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's pretty. Do you own your own harp, basically, or do you? Because I know those are expensive instruments.
I do own my own harp. I actually own two now, but both relatively portable. It was an investment. It's definitely not a cheap instrument. When I first started playing, I think my parents kind of had this moment of like horror where they're thinking, "Why didn't you choose the piccolo?" or like the ukulele, something smaller. But they were very good sports and supported me, and it was kind of the trade-off. My sister got help to buy, when she was a teenager, to buy her first car, and I got help to buy my first harp. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's. I mean, do you have a name for it? Do you name your harps at all?
I don't, actually.
Yeah, because funny thing is that I asked this of a country artist last week, and I've asked this about a couple of young ladies that have been on the show, if they ever have named their instruments, and they for the most part they never do. The guys always ask Hasslin have the name for their guitars? Does Darren have a name for his guitar at all?
I don't think so. I've always thought that naming an instrument is kind of like naming a car. Some people do and are very into it, and then like the rest of people don't and never really think about it. And I think we fall into the second category.
You know, and it sometimes comes to you all that as well. So yeah, I mean, it's interesting to be able to kind of have a connection with it, you know. And it's kind of interesting that sometimes you ladies don't like to do that. But I mean, there's still a connection there, obviously. Obviously, harp's a lot, pretty difficult, in terms of, learning as an instrument as well. Why the decision to do a harp? You know, you could have done guitar or anything like that. What was ultimately the decision? Was it just the sound of what a harp is?
I think something about the sound of the harp really spoke to me. It just kind of grabbed me in ways that some other instruments haven't. And I was also lucky in that one of my best friends growing up, his mother played the harp. So I already had kind of a frame of reference. It wasn't totally out of the blue to choose the harp.
Yeah, I think the only other person that I've known that knows the harp is, that I've had on the show is Erin Hill. I have had her on a couple years ago. Very talented harpist out of New York. It's great. I mean, you know, you don't see that very often nowadays in terms of music, but there is kind of a wistfulness in terms of using a harp in the background. And I'd almost say that, you know, I'd love to see it make a little bit of a comeback, because I think it's a little bit of a dying art. But
I think it is, actually. It's been a bit of a surprise to me, but you see harp more and more. I think you have to be looking at it to really notice that you're hearing it. But, I mean, Florence and the Machine has harp all over her music. And the Barr Brothers, a really talented folk group out of Canada that's getting bigger, they have a harpist in their band as well. And I feel like the more I look around, the more I notice that like there are other harpists out there in modern music.
Yeah. I'm hoping that it comes more a little bit more to the forefront or whatever. I think that, like I said, there is a kind of a very enchanting sound in towards it as well. And you're in particular are a little bit more in towards the Celtic harp, which is a very romantic and interesting instrument as well. So it's an interesting thing to be able to do as well. How was it first when you were learning the harp and then starting to wanting to sing vocals along the way? Did it take a little time for you to kind of be able to do both?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's definitely the mental gymnastics of wrapping your mind around doing one thing with your hands and then doing something totally different with your voice and trying to keep the two straight. But I didn't start singing and playing at the same time. I didn't really start writing music much until I met Darren, and he'd been playing music as a singer-songwriter for a while before we met, but I had always played harp, just my harp, and had thought at the time when I moved to Seattle that I was not really going to be able to pursue music, because I didn't think that it was realistic to think that I would find a musical partner who I could really play with like I do. And then I put my foot in my mouth, because about a week later I met Darren, and our music kicked off, so...
Now, was Darren surprised that you played the harp, and, you know, kind of what was it like for him to kind of hear you play for the first time?
We both have kind of funny. I mean, he was surprised. He I don't think he quite knew what to expect. We have kind of two stories about how we got started playing music, and one was our connection, finding that spark vocally, which was, as I mentioned earlier, kind of around this campfire and on the Washington coast. But a couple of weeks later, my parents brought my harp up from Oregon, where they live, to Seattle. And my harp had been at their house for a long time while I was traveling, because it's not a very mobile instrument. You have a high risk of damaging it if you tote it around too much. But they brought my harp up, and I had it in my room, and I was tuning it. And I started hearing these really neat overtones. And the harp does produce a lot of overtones, so that's not totally unusual. But so I was listening to the overtones that I was hearing as I was playing, and then I started realizing that they were syncopated with what I was playing. Like they weren't at the same time as the notes that I was playing. And so I kind of poked my head out my door and I saw Darren standing there with his guitar, kind of playing along to what I was playing on the harp. And we never played before. So it was just kind of this moment of like, yeah, like something's up here. So I brought my harp into his room and we started playing. So I think, yeah, there was definitely kind of a surprise. I don't think either of us quite knew what to expect. Neither of us were necessarily looking for the music that we found, but I think there's no going back now.
Yeah, you know, like I said, it's kind of interesting to say the least. I mean, growing up, I mean, what were some of the singers that you listened to growing up?
Oh, man, a little bit of everything. People are always surprised when we say that we listen to artists that are kind of outside of our genre. But I was a huge fan of, man, I love Tori Amos. I definitely loved my like boy bands and pop growing up. They're disbanded now, but definitely huge influence was Damien Rice. Huge influence was The Swell Season and Civil Wars, who none of those groups are currently active. But yeah, just lots of different kinds of music.
Yeah, you know, yeah, and a lot of artists are saying the same way, too. I've heard country artists say that they had rock and roll, you know, people that they've listened to when they were a lot younger. And it's interesting to see some of the younger country artists say, oh, I listen to older country because my parents listened to it and all that as well. So, you know, it never really takes you where exactly you want to go. I mean, a good example for me is the fact that I never really listened to country music when I was younger. I never was really into it. But then when I turned my 30s, then I started to really, you know, enjoy listening to country, and certain artists, of course, because it spoke to me a little bit better. I mean, has that kind of been the same thing with you? You know, as you get older, you kind of have certain kind of music that kind of speaks to you?
Absolutely. I think I have a similar story to yours in that when I was younger, I was allergic to country music. It was not my thing. At all. And then I think I was listening to a very specific kind of country, which I actually now don't really have a problem with at all. But, as a kid, it was not my cup of tea. But I think as I started hearing different artists and as I started sort of finding my own voice, I really kind of dove into the genre. I was like, actually, this is great. And I do think that as with anything, your tastes change over time. So, and that's an exciting thing.
It is, you know, and, you know, your tastes change, and that's, you know, like I said, sometimes that music speaks to you in different ways, especially if you get older and you have more experiences, or you're in a certain point in your life and have that experience as well. So, yeah, it's interesting to say the least when that happens with that as well. You know, like I said, your music is absolutely, you know, very, very nice, and, you know, what's it like for you to have gone through the process of writing these songs for this album? You know, how much is it? Obviously, a lot of it has to do with you and Darren going back and forth. Like you said, when you were first getting your harp done, you know that you know Darren was feeding off of you and all that as well. And how much is that off of you two? And with the lyrics, I mean, how is that going as well? Is that something that is kind of a situation where you both kind of put input in there as well, and tell us a little bit about the writing process.
Our writing process is very collaborative, both instrumentally and lyrically. I think we co-write everything that's on my album, and pretty much everything that we write, period. The process of writing a song for us usually starts out instrumentally. I think Darren's a little bit more instrumental heavy in how he starts, and I'm a little bit more vocal heavy or lyric heavy, but kind of all comes out in the wash. But usually we'll start with some guitar or harp line that we both really like and then kind of build out from there. We'll start with the one instrument, lay down the other one, start sort of feeling out the bones of the song, the structure of it, and come down with a melody that we like, usually kind of nonsense words, and then usually the last thing to come are the lyrics, which I think is actually really... It really works for us in some ways because by the time that we get to the point that we are ready to write lyrics, the song has such a strong feel or mood to us and message already that the lyrics kind of flow.
Yeah, and obviously you guys probably, you know, maybe have a bit of an idea coming in. I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure Darren brings ideas to the table and you bring ideas to the table as well. Do you find a lot of times you're out in the middle of somewhere and you end up like, you know, having a melody or whatever, jotting it down or jotting out an idea or, I think Rochelle and Lene, who had it on last week, says she does it on her phone. But is that something that seems to be a part of the process as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Darren and I are both notorious for having just like hundreds of snippets of recordings on our phones at any time. And it's always pretty funny because like you can always sort of tell where we were when we were recording it. And it's always like walking down the sidewalk and hear like traffic in the background and one of us kind of humming into the phone or out on a hike and you can hear that background. But yeah, I think as the songwriter, like there's something in your brain that's always kind of active on that front, and you're always getting these little snippets of ideas, and it's more of a struggle to sort of capture them and go back to them than it is to have them in the first place. But yeah, it's funny because we do get sort of random bursts of inspiration. We also get a lot of inspiration from what we read. Quite a few of our songs, including one on the album, were inspired by poets or writers that we both really enjoy.
Yeah, what's probably the fastest you've ever written a song?
The fastest song we've ever written was probably Georgia, honestly, which is one of the singles on the album. It's the fastest in some ways. So Darren actually has already written the guitar part to that. It's one of the few that was a little bit more separate in how we wrote it. But Darren had the guitar part for that written when he was traveling years before he met me in Southeast Asia. He had this whole song fleshed out around this guitar melody. And then he forgot the lyrics and the melody that he had created vocally on top of it. So he's kind of noodling around with this guitar part when we were at a songwriting retreat about a year ago now. And he was making up nonsense words to it. And something he said sounded kind of like Take Me Home, Georgia. And something in that stuck in my head. And I sat down and I wrote the lyrics for that song and the melody for that song in about 20 minutes flat. So That was a fast song. Some others can take weeks, so it really just depends on the song.
That's actually one of my favorite songs off the album. Actually, I absolutely love that song.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean it's I mean it's great to be able to have an idea. And I talk to a lot of artists, not just musically, but comedians as well, that they have little snippets of something that they have that this does not work at the time, and they put it away, and then they come back to it later on, and it becomes
mm-hmm.
something big. And I think that's the way that kind of is probably the prime example of that happening. You know, he's took that away for a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it's great to be able to come back and have some of those things as well. I mean, obviously, it was a little bit tough to kind of select everything you had for this album, because like you said that you have got a lot of ideas and all that as well. How hard was it to kind of whittle that all these songs down to the set that you wanted for this album?
Parts of it were hard, parts of it were easy. I think whittling it down, so there are six songs on the album, and I think whittling it down to about 9 or 10 options, that was pretty easy. But then sort of deciding between the others was a bit more of a challenge. The process reminded me a little bit of when you're at the eye doctor and they're sort of like flipping between one lens and another, sort of like going, is A better or is B better? And you're just like, wow, man, I don't know. They both look pretty good. So that got kind of tough. But ultimately, I think we settled on looking for this common voice within the album, and I'm really happy with the songs that we chose. I think they work together very well and tell the story that we were trying to put out to the world. So once we nailed them down, I think there was no question that we were happy with the choice.
Yeah, and quite obviously a couple of those songs could wait for the next album whenever you guys decide to lay that
mm-hmm.
down as well. And, you know, I mean, it's great to be able to see that as well. You know, What's ahead for you guys? Are you guys going to be going out on tour at all? And you know, for the album,
we are. We're going to be doing a short West Coast tour this summer, probably in July, and then we will be on the East Coast in October, and are looking to tour internationally at the end of the year. So quite a lot in the works on that front. Also excited to head back into the studio to record a couple more singles. So we're also finishing up a music video for Georgia. So lots happening right now.
Well, that's great to see. I'm interested to see what you guys do with the video for Georgia as well. I don't think we have very much of a folk scene here in Vegas, but kind of wish that they would maybe get some kind of really cool festival here that could be able to do it. We have festivals in every other genre besides it, and I think it would be a folk Americana festival would be actually pretty cool to be down here. So maybe
high time for that.
To play down here.
Yeah, that would be exactly. Wonderful. I mean, we'd love that.
And you mentioned West Coast. I mean, are you planning on doing a concert in your hometown?
I am, yeah. So we're not necessarily building the tour around my hometown's tour stop, but it was definitely on the list. We have a concert promised to a bunch of people down there. We've actually never played in that area before, so we're excited to make it down there.
Well, I mean, that's great to hear, and, you know, like you said, it's going to be interesting to see what goes on with Georgia and your music over the next couple of years, but like I said, it's a very good album. If you guys can definitely check that out, and like I said, at the usual spots, I think, Amazon, and I believe Amazon. Do you guys have iTunes at all?
Yes, we are. Best place to buy our music right now is probably CD Baby or Bandcamp page, either of which you can find from our website, which is www.marchtomay.com.
I've been meaning to ask, how did you guys get the name Game March to May?
Oh, yeah. There are two stories that are big in that one, or in how we came up with our name. The first is that March to May was kind of our formative period. We wrote our first song together in March of 2013, and then decided that we really had something we wanted to pursue and move forward as a band in May. So there's that element to it, and then kind of by happenstance, Darren's birthday is in March and mine is in May.
Yeah, and we have you in between, so, you know, Mark, and
right.
You released it in a very perfect time between March and May, so it's really great to be able to see that as well. I really look forward to seeing this video for Georgia coming out. And, if you guys are on the West Coast, please go to marchtomay.com. You guys can check out when their upcoming shows are in the West Coast and eventually East Coast and internationally as well. It must be pretty fun that you're going to be able to travel a little bit over to Europe. And are you going to Europe, I believe, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it must be fun
yeah,
for you
it's
to
really
be able
exciting.
To travel again.
Yeah, it's exciting. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
It's great to be able to have you on the show, and hopefully Darren will be able to make it on, and hopefully we'll have you soon if you're coming down here for a concert or maybe on your next album as well. So definitely look forward to a lot of the stuff. You guys can follow them also at March to May on Twitter, and then March to May on Facebook as well. I can also mention that as well. Anything else you want to add?
Not really, just that we're so happy to be on the show today. It's been a real pleasure.
Yeah, it was nice. It was something that your publicist had brought to my attention, and it was great to be able to build up to this interview because I've been playing a couple of your tracks during the show, and I've been waiting for guests. So it's been great to be able to do this as well. And like I said, hopefully next time we'll get Darren on with us and. Get to hear some of his stories too.
He would love that. He was very sorry to miss today.
Yeah. Okay. Well, like I said, best of luck to you and wish Darren well. And we'll talk to you. Like I said, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you again.
And no problem at all. And like I said, hopefully we'll see you. And I like to look forward to it. So see you, Beth.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. Thank you again.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
That was Beth from March to May. Like I said, marchtomay.com. You guys can check it out there. You can check their album as well. I may end with Georgia because I want you guys to listen to the song. It's a really good song. It's one of my favorites off the album. And we'll end the show with that. And I want to mention next week, I believe it's going to be Billy Grima. Yeah, I think Billy Grima is going to be my guest next week. Another very talented musician that's coming on the show. He's actually originally from Australia, and he's moved here. He moved up to Canada. Really talented individual. So we'll be talking to him coming up next week, and then I think the week following we've got Doug Briney coming back on the show to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that's going on in his work as well. Please follow us on Twitter at SWIV, at SWIV, and Somewhere in Vegas on Facebook, and I will hopefully have VegasPodcasting.com updated sometime this week. I've been busy with other projects, and definitely check us out. I was hoping to do a I'll see if I can work in a Throwback Thursday this week. I couldn't last week. I got kind of busy, tied up. But hopefully we'll go a Throwback Thursday this week, and I'll figure out what that's going to be. So just be aware of that. 2 p.m. Thursday if it does happen. So make sure you guys definitely check that out as well. With that in mind, I'm going to go ahead and play a little bit of I'll play Georgia by March to May. And we'll see you guys next week, 2 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, with Mr. Billy Grima. Here we go. This is March to May, Georgia, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Take me home, Georgia. Going away. Take everything I own. Cause it'll only weigh me down, down, down. Won't be long, Georgia. Cause I'm leaving at the dawn. Save your words and all your sweet remembrances. Georgia, call me back to you.